From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The Federal Communications Commission is investigating new charges of payola in the music and radio industries. The inquiry is tied to last month's settlement between New York's Attorney General and Sony BMG Music Entertainment. Sony BMG agreed to pay $10 million to settle charges that it gave cash, gifts, and trips to radio station employees in exchange for playing its songs. The label did not admit to breaking the law. New York is still looking at three other major record labels. NPR's Netta Ulaby has more on the long history of payola.
Payola is back. But as a music historian once said, that's a little like saying gravity is back. And few people know that better than former DJ Joe Finan. In 1957, Finan was flown to New York City by a record label and put up in a fancy hotel he says was owned by the mob. A knock on the door was followed by the entrance of a beautiful woman. After some small talk, she excused herself.
I look up and she's standing in the door in high heels. And that was it. And I said, "For me?" She said, "Yes. Roulette Records."
Well, all I want is party dogs. Come along with me when I'm feeling wild.
For Joe Finan, the golden age of payola was a blur of bribes, broads, booze. That's actually the working title of his memoir. Besides the free sex, Finan says record companies gave him gifts, vacations, and, of course, money.
Mercury Records approached me to go on the take, which I did. That was $200 a week.
Finan says back then, payola was something everybody did.
There was certainly a knowledge that taking money to play records was a no-no, but it wasn't a big no-no.
In the early 1950s, Finan worked at Cleveland radio station WJW, where his colleague Alan Freed was attracting national attention.
Another big Tuesday night rock and roll get-together with all the gang in the Moondog Kingdom. And away we go with Gil Bernal, picking up that tenor horn to blow it strong, and the Spark label and the whip!
Freed was among the first to take rock and roll to a wide radio audience. In 1962, he was convicted by a New York jury for taking bribes to do it. That was after Congress launched a sweeping investigation into payola and after Joe Finan was fired for it. Federal legislation made it illegal for radio stations to accept money, services, or valuables from record labels to play songs, at least without disclosing to listeners that those songs were paid for. But the industry found a way around the rules through so-called independent music promoters. They funneled money and gifts to radio station personnel and billed record labels when those stations played the right records. Eric Bollert of Salon.com says those transactions became legendary.
I mean, there were stories of, you know, FedEx packages full of cash, FedEx packages full of cocaine, payments to the mafia. That's how that business worked.
Such practices came to light in the 1980s. Once again, Congress scrutinized payola, but took no action against it. The indies, though, took notice. They spiffed up their suits, and as Bollert reported, they were making more money than ever by the late 1990s.
Oh, I think at that point, the major labels were spending probably $150 million a year just to get their songs on the radio.
But 2 years ago, the nation's largest broadcaster, Clear Channel, cut ties with independent music promoters in response to bad publicity and political pressure. The indies lost their clout, and record labels returned to dealing directly with radio stations. Bollert says that's obviously illegal, but during an industry downturn, hubris and desperation took over.
If you go inside the record label's promotion department, and those are the guys, mostly guys who are in charge of getting these songs on the radio, every Tuesday they go to their boss for a meeting and they have to explain how many new stations they got this week, how many new spins, or how many more times the song was played than the previous week. They don't want to go into that Tuesday meeting knowing that their numbers don't look very good. So on Monday, if they have to start sending around plasma TVs and writing checks and promising trips and those sorts of things, that's what you do to keep your job.
One rumor has it that, given static record sales and the high cost of payola, a Sony insider may have tipped off New York State Attorney General Elliot Spitzer. Spitzer says his investigation is expanding in scope.
This investigation, as I said, began with the labels. We have obviously expanded out to the radio stations. And in every context like this, you have finger pointing. You have Every extortion is viewed as a bribery. Every bribery is viewed as an extortion. You have both sides of the equation pointing back and forth, saying, no, you made me do it. No, you made me do it.
At a recent press conference, Spitzer released subpoenaed documents, including damning receipts and embarrassing emails. Here's a dramatic reading of a 2004 exchange between an executive at Epic Records and a radio program director in Rochester, New York.
June 22nd, 12:55 p.m. You can say, I'll give you the Franz Ferdinand and put it in a 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. rotation with 18 times a week if you can help out with blank. Then I say, of course, I'd be happy to. And thank you for finally helping me break a record.
June 22nd, 3:51 p.m. I'm a whore this week. What can I say?
This is not about the old nostalgic form of payola, where I give you a bribe, or I give you drugs, or I give you something and you play my song.
Michael Bracey directs government relations for the Washington, D.C.-based Future of Music Coalition. It lobbies on behalf of musicians. Bracey says payola has adapted to a highly consolidated industry.
When you work in a corporate environment, your job is not necessarily to have shame, or on the music side, to promote music that you love, or to try to take music that you think an audience should hear and really advocate for it. I mean, you know, really what your job is to try to maximize shareholder value and use whatever tools that your corporate bosses would, you know, want you to use.
Some critics find it outrageous that it took a state attorney general, and not the FCC, to launch this latest investigation. Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein has held hearings on payola rules and created an FCC webpage to help the public report suspected violations. He's the one who asked Elliot Spitzer to turn his findings over to the FCC.
We've seen evidence that's overwhelming. We've seen blatant disregard for our rules and major potential violations of the law.
Adelstein says a federal investigation could lead to the revoking of radio station licenses worth millions of dollars and even potentially put people in jail. It's worth noting, too, that emerging technologies like the Internet and satellite radio aren't yet subject to payola laws. Retired DJ Joe Finan says no matter the medium, some things never change.
The same BS today as it was then. Human response, when something's hot and you've got a product, you're going to do whatever you think is, you know, all bets are off. Forget about morality.
Finan says only once in his entire career as a DJ did he play, for pay, a song he did not like. And in that, he finds a little consolation. Netta Ulibi, NPR News.